You are now listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
You run into all of these, whether it's reservations or communities, the urban legends always seem to tie in with...
Their lore is just, wow.
Yeah, it's always seemed to tie into the urban legends in the area.
Yeah, like where it kind of stems from is usually, a lot of it is from Native American lore.
Fallen Hour Radio takes a deep dive into Native American urban legends and the world's most notorious lore stories. At times, we take a skeptical approach to abductions and UFO sightings.
John Mack has taken the study of abductions, UFOs, right out through the other side, and he's going, yes, we know they're here, we know they're coming, we know people have been taken.
A unique approach to hauntings, first encounters,
they're extra-dimensional beings,
and lore. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Sid Elinick, this is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio. So, tonight's episode, we are actually jumping into kind of a cool, and this falls along the lines with the election going on, all the politics happening out there that we don't speak about in the podcast. And
we usually try to avoid that.
Right, but I'm thinking about starting a new podcast on my page.
Okay.
I mean, if we ever get to freaking that part of it. Because we always get stopped all the time. If you guys don't know, I have a page at CDelinic. And it was basically trying to figure out what we'd do with Fallen Hour.
No.
And then it just went into like doing funny videos and challenges and whatnot.
That was like side from all the business and stuff.
Right. So we were thinking about, I'm thinking about maybe doing something on there and being more mainstream with politics, with things happening in the world. Something pisses me off or pisses you off, come on the podcast, say it. Things like that. But anyways, tonight's episode, we're actually jumping into... ghost stories in the White House.
Yeah.
And this is especially something you don't hear about coming out of the White House. You don't hear anything because this is like deemed unprofessional or...
Yeah, it never used to be that way. Like they used to cover this a lot in the newspapers and everything back then.
Like early
but
newspapers.
But now, yeah, they just kind of keep it more hush.
On the wraps.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange as well because it's like I think nowadays, especially with like politics and stuff, if you come out with a ghost story, you're going to be like, is he fit to be in the freaking office? whole family's loopy.
Yeah.
But you researching this, and I haven't had time to research this, so sadly, I'll probably be doing my usual, oh, gross, through the podcast.
Strange.
Yeah. And, but yeah, you have some notes going forward. And tell us what got you into or got you on the subject of trying to cover ghost stories in the White House?
Well, I knew of like one or two stories, but I didn't know how many stories there really were. There is a lot. This is barely even scratching the surface of what I have. Like, there is a lot dating back to like in the 1800s.
Wow.
So there is a lot of stories in the White House, and they're all insane stories.
Now this is one thing I never really got. Was Lincoln, did he have his own ghost stories as well, or was he like the main ghost? Like, he was one of the first people to live in the White House.
He's the most seen ghost that they have at the White House.
Right.
So, like, yeah, there was stories, you know, there, I will get into that, but there are stories that happened with, you know, Lincoln and his family, but... it pretty much started with them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like when it comes to them, like I'll probably save them for last because it just gets insane. Like this will kind of build up because like, you know, you'll think these stories are kind of crazy or kind of cool. But when you get to the Lincolns, it just goes, excuse my language, batshit crazy. Because it's insane. It like gets over the top. And like a lot of these, I was like, no way. No way. But
oh,
yeah, there's a lot of crazy stories.
By the way, got a Kell's Irish Pub shirt on since you pointed out your freaking Ghost Adventures freaking shirt.
Well, the few podcasts ago.
Yeah. This is apparently a haunted pub in Seattle, downtown Seattle. Went there, met a really cool bartender guy there. We just wanted to go see this place and get in there. It's a quiet place. Made friends with this guy. And Leithy's like, you always make friends with the oddest people. Anyways, he likes the page now. I told him I'd send him a poster back then.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, well, if he's watching, if you watch this episode, make sure you comment. And
like, what is so like famous about that place? Like, why is it so crazy?
It was Seattle's first mortuary.
That's right. Okay, yeah. Knew that.
And it had a lot of strange things happening under wraps in that place. I think there was like ties with like the mob and things and
things
of that nature. Just a really strange place. In the future, we'll probably cover it.
Dark.
Yeah. We were in Seattle. We unfortunately had to go down there for a funeral. And everything's done. And then we just stop and we're like, we got to go see this pub. This Irish pub.
Yeah.
Really cool place. So now here it comes. That being said, let's get into your ghost stories.
All right. So what really kind of wanted me to get into this, you know, like, you know, I remember... you know, a story or two from the White House and like the whole election and everything going on, that just kind of sparked the idea. I was like, oh, we got to do this. You know, that'd be kind of a cool time. But we didn't put that out yet, did we?
No.
No. Okay. Still... You'll probably hear that after or hear this after that anyway. But so now where to begin? All right. Well, I'll just jump right into it. Let me get my notes here. No, I'll save that one later. All right. So, like, I'll just start from the beginning. A really known ghost that is seen at the White House was or is a man named David Burns.
Interesting.
You know who David Burns is?
I don't.
No? Okay. He was the one that actually owned the land that the White House is on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a new one for you. Oh, cool. Okay.
But he didn't give up this land. Like, he didn't just, like, you know, sell it to him or anything. They took it from him.
Kind of like, what do they call that? Something domain. Eminent, something like that.
Mm.
It's where the government can take your property if
you're
in their way.
Just, yeah, find a reason to take your, to steal your land or your property.
Something domain. They do this with the wall that Trump was building.
Uh-huh.
And... if you're in the lines of their property,
they'll find a way to
your land. They'll take it, but they'll pay you for it.
But so they'll basically force you to sell it.
Yeah. But
that's pretty much what they did with
eminent domain, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They did that end up happening in May in 1791. They forced him to give up this land. Like, he didn't want to give it up, but they made him give it up.
Was he Native American?
it's a horrible joke. But anyway,
we're Native Americans, so we can make those jokes.
But he, you know, so you can already tell this guy was, you know, not happy. This guy was pissed off.
Right.
So now there's accounts of him haunting this place.
Interesting.
Yeah, these like, you know, well, let me find.
Was his house on this place or something?
Like, I don't think so. I think he had like, you know, property or a house around that area, but like the main area where the White House is built, I think they just wanted that whole plot.
Was it like a farmer or something?
I'm not sure. I just know he was the property owner.
I'm trying to figure out like why he'd be so pissed off that took his place.
Yeah.
Why he's got to haunt the place.
Well, if somebody just comes and takes your house, would you be pissed too?
My wife's buried there.
That's what I mean.
The White House on his freaking...
That's horrible. But anyway, like, you know, during the Truman... administration, there's a lot of stuff that happens during the Truman administration. Yeah, like when we get into, you know, Truman, you know, they'll a lot of stories will come up.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a there was a reporter that was actually there, and when he was in the Oval Office, he heard a voice behind him say, "I'm Mr. Burns."
Oh, wow.
And this reporter, he turned around and looked, and there was nobody in that room. He looked around, there was nobody in there but him, and he kind of turned back, kind of brushed it off, and then he heard it even louder say, "I'm Mr. Burns," and it scared the hell out of him, and then I guess he went and reported it to a security guard, and that's where that story came from. But not only that, there was an actual security guard who was, he heard noises in the attic.
Oh,
they kept hearing, like, rustling around in the attic and stuff, so he... you know, what the hell's going on? And there's not supposed to be anybody up there. So he goes upstairs and the noises stop. And the same thing happened to him.
The security guard.
Yeah. This is a different security guard. It wasn't the one that he reported it to, but he went upstairs to hear what all this rustling around was, and he heard somebody behind him say, "I'm David Burns."
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it scared the hell out of him, I guess. What?
It'd be scary.
Yeah, I know. Like something like that audible to where you can hear it. Like imagine you're standing in a room by yourself and you hear somebody behind you whispering, talking to you. Like I'm just thinking about these stories and try to put yourself in their place. That is really creepy.
It's kind of strange too that a ghost would want you to know who it is.
Yeah.
Because I mean, especially investigating, one of the big questions that come up, especially investigating paranormal, is who are you?
Yeah.
What is your name? Because ghost.
Nah, he just comes right out of the gate. Yeah, he just comes
I'll
out.
I'll save
and
you
says,
the trouble.
Allow me to introduce myself.
Interesting.
But he didn't die on this property. That's the thing. Like a lot of these stories that I'm going to tell you, a lot of them didn't die here. They just have, there's accounts reported of them haunting this place. So what is your take on that?
Of why they'd be drawn to the place?
Yeah.
I mean, for him especially, it's got to be something along the lines of like a trigger object.
Yeah.
Or some way he's rooted in this place.
Do you think it's like because of probably how angry or pissed off or sad or, you know, all of the above while he was in this area? Do you think he somehow kind of imprinted on this place?
Possibly.
You know, like you remember you telling a story about a psychic.
Amy Allen.
Amy Allen.
Right.
You want to tell that story real quick? Because just kind of, that was my theory.
This gets in line of your podcast we launched of Ghosts of the Living.
Yeah.
Of where you can be alive, but somehow part of your energy is either imprinted on a place or it's drawn to somebody in that place.
Yeah.
So if I had extreme anger problems and I killed somebody in this house or something.
Yeah.
And I go to prison or something. This is basically what happened to this dude that Amy Allen was talking to. And anyways, this guy murders somebody inside of the basement, and this man worked there for maybe like 6 months or so. And he goes to jail for murdering this dude because he thought he was making like homophobic remarks to him.
Yeah.
He was a straight dude. He thought the boss was trying to make moves on him. He killed him, and he goes to prison. So Amy Allen comes along, and the way she does her operations is interesting because she gets there, they close off anything. They take down pictures, cover all of these identifiable marks in the house that would give you history, and she just goes in there blind. And she goes down to the basement. She says she's seeing this guy talk to her, and he's angry, and she's trying to deal with him. She wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
And she kept...
Is that the one where he choked her?
Yeah, it's something like that. And,
I think I saw that one. Yeah.
And she kept saying that it feels like this man's alive.
Yeah.
This first time I've ever heard anything like this before, especially from a medium.
Yeah.
Of where a medium's contacting someone who's actually living. And does he know that it's happening? Like, is that possible? And
I don't think so. I think like it goes along the line of the stone tape theory. You've heard of that, right?
No.
It's where like, you know, a traumatic event happens inside a place like that. And they say that it's kind of
imprinted on the wood,
you know, the surroundings, the building, almost like it's, you know, recorded by it.
Right.
And I remember Aaron talking about something like that too. Like his dad said that you can hear music and stuff up in the attic or something.
There was so many theories about the dead, so many theories about residual energies. And some of these things, like, you can't make up. Like, how do you make up that a piece of wood can record energy and then play it back to you sometime? And it's like, how does that happen?
Yeah, like, it almost like you can hear it, like, playing through it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, scientists have worked on sound. I mean, this is, like, one of the big things.
Yeah.
They've worked on vibrations. They've worked on sounds. They've worked on, I know Tesla had an account where there was actual audio coming through his house because there was like some sort of transmission coming out of his house, things like that. But it's like, how does something like this happen where it just records you and then plays you on later on. But this one was interactive. That's the thing.
Almost like an echo.
Right.
I keep hearing
But it's kind of strange and choppy because this isn't a residual energy. This person was reacting to Amy Allen, and he was talking to her, pissed off at her that she was in the house.
So like a piece of him was left there.
Right.
That's weird.
And meanwhile, he was incarcerated.
And he was still alive.
Yeah, she had a sketch artist come in, draw her image of him, and then the guy her partner comes in, and he has a photo of this guy, and he's freaked out because she just totally did a sketch of him to the T.
That's weird.
And he's alive, and he just visited him.
Okay, the next one is Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
Now, Andrew Jackson, he was... like, it makes sense if you, like, you know, talked about that whole thing about, you know, people being so angry or this or that happening, and it just kind of imprints on a place. This guy was always angry. They said, like, he was, like, always, like, you know, really, really angry if he didn't get his way. Like, he'd literally curse around and yell around and stuff like that.
You know what's funny? It's what? Like, when I make friends, Alethea always tells me, like, seriously, I don't have anybody my age that are my friends.
Yeah.
They're always in their 50s. I've had one friend at McDonald's. She was like in her 90s. They're never my age. They're always like older than me, way older than me. But I get along with some of the people who get intimidated by. It's like where they're kind of grumpy people.
That's funny.
Me and this guy, I'd probably get along.
Yeah, but anyway, he was... really, really angry person. But the funny thing was he was like, he was the type of person that wanted to be like of the people, you know?
Right.
He like, he would invite people like off the street to come into the White House.
Wow.
Like, during like those parties and stuff that they have there. He would invite them all in.
Wow.
But they'd end up like, you know, stealing everything, but still he'd invite them all in. That's like one funny thing I thought about. I was like, yeah, he's like really like, you know, nice guy. He wants people to be like, you know, come on, you know, come in, you know, very hospitable.
Right.
But he was always angry, you know, like, but, he was,
probably cause they stole stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, the Rose Room, that's where I was going to get at. The Rose Room in the White House is like one of the most haunted places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they say it's one of the most haunted places because of the type of activity that happens in there.
Right.
Is because they always hear Andrew Jackson.
Interesting.
So like, you know, they'd always hear somebody yelling around or cursing around in that room. Now, like if I heard that, yeah, I'd say that room is haunted as hell, but they always hear him yelling around and stuff. Like, you know, they'd hear him in the halls. They'd hear him in the Oval Office or the Rose Room. So like, you know, that they all said that's like one of the most haunted places. So like, you know, that's like thinking about that kind of ghost. That's the kind that would probably creep me the hell out.
I don't know if I'd be creeped out by a ghost like that.
If I was trying to sleep and I hear something screaming, yelling, cursing in the room next to me, and I go in there and there's nobody in there, I think it's a damn like poltergeist or something.
The poltergeist spoke.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, that's how creepy it is to me actually. And let me see. President Truman is actually one of the people that reported hearing him all the time.
Wow.
Yelling around, cursing around. Truman and, you know, a lot of the staff and visitors there, he's one ghost that they always report hearing. It's just an angry, pissed off freaking ghost.
I don't know why. I mean, is there anything about why he was so angry as a president?
Just the way he was, I guess, his personality. Like, if he didn't get his way, if he was told no, he'd throw a fit, I guess, and, like, really be pissed off.
Well, I guess it probably comes with the power, though.
Well, oh, yeah, power trip? Is that what it is? I'm the president of the United States. Yeah. Can't tell me no.
Right.
Flipping tables. But, yeah, he's, like, one of the ones that, like, I always thought would be a creepy ghost. But, like, I don't know, like, he's not the creepiest to me, but...
I don't think I'd be creeped out by him.
Like the one that would creep me out is President Lincoln.
Oh, right.
Just looking at him.
I mean,
he just looks creepy to me. I don't know why.
The ghost that creeped me out the most is, I probably am a little bit freaked out about kid ghosts.
Yeah. There's those too.
Cause like we're doing stuff all the time. And then one of my daughters would come out and just like peek out.
Oh God, I hate that.
I'll
look at the camera and then I see something peeking around the corner and I have to make sure it's a child.
And they move like real fast. All you see is their hair. I was like, did I just see that?
I ran to ask that question last time. I was like, is she awake? Tell me she's awake. But all right. Anyway, the next one is Thomas Jefferson. Now, a lot of people, report hearing violin music.
Right.
Coming from the next room.
The Bush twins.
Are hearing. Yeah, I think the Bush twins actually heard violin music. Didn't they hear it coming from the fireplace
or something like that? Yeah, we told that story on the...
Yeah, in the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the reason why they think it's Thomas Jefferson was because he was, a violinist. And he was always playing, in the White House. So, like, they didn't hear that kind of thing happen until after he died.
I mean, that was, like, one of our things going. I mean, we always make these theories and we always bring them up in future podcasts because it falls a line. But being a historical place, and I was I even joked in the last podcast that it's like the freaking Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
But this place, I'm pretty sure, has some pull, especially with, like, the spiritual... being one of the most powerful places in the world, where the president sits, having all these historical figures there who have power. I mean, in a lot of ways, it could be like a portal for these kind of things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why wouldn't there be ghosts there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll get to that. I think I have like a theory of why. Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of people think the same thing.
Right.
But anyway, oh, Alethea is trying to send me stuff. I don't want to look at it right now. It's creepy. But yeah, they'd hear music coming from the other room. And when they go, walk up and open the door, the music would stop. There'd be nothing in there that could play music.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, nobody in there. And it would just quit. And they'd go back to their room and they'd hear it again. They start walking down the hall and they hear the room that it's coming in. And when they go to turn the doorknob, it would quit.
Interesting.
Something I guess that happens all the time. So that's like not really scary, but it's just weird. Like if I heard music playing in my house, like a violin or a piano, there's a piano, like they did hear piano music coming from the rooms too. That happens a lot too, but it's like not even really scary, but it's just the fact that there's nothing there that makes that noise.
Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. So it's kind of strange. And Mary Todd Lincoln actually reported seeing Jefferson in the Yellow Oval Office, as well as John Tyler.
Like seeing his president. Actual apparition.
Yeah, actually seeing him in the Oval Office.
Weird.
And seeing John Tyler in there too.
I mean, like, what Lincoln do they see? Does he got a top hat on? Is he in
Mary Todd Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's wife,
right?
Seen Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
and another president. So like, yeah, a lot of these presidents are being seen in this place.
It's strange.
But it's not just the presidents either. Like people report seeing guards that have died, have passed away. People like that aren't working there anymore, actually seeing them wandering the halls and
but
stuff.
But it's kind of strange, though, because, like, why are all these people of all walks of life being trapped in this place?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of weird.
It's, like, freaking along the lines of, like, American Horror Story Murder House kind of deal, where you gotta die on the property, but, like, maybe they just have to have ties.
Like, if you're
to
not
the
in the house, if you just die on the property, you're stuck there forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
I'd want to do that. I don't know if I'd want to do it. I'd probably get bored.
Well, yeah, after watching that, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look like fun at all. But, oh, yeah, Abigail Adams is another really famous ghost being seen there.
Right.
And that's President Adams' wife. So she was the first lady. And, yeah, people see her in there all the time. And I guess there's still reports of her being seen there, like, recently.
Wow.
Like, I think there was a group of visitors. They were taking a tour there, and they seen her walking along the hall.
Interesting.
With her hands out. They said they always see, like, a lot of the times they always see her hands out, like she's carrying laundry.
That's what weirds me out about some apparitions.
Is what they do?
Yeah. It's like some ghosts you see reports of. It's like that doesn't make sense. Like, our grandma had a story about seeing a nurse and while she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I think I told the story before.
Yeah, you did.
But this nurse was on the floor scooping something into what my grandma thinks was possibly like maybe she had a laundry basket, but she wasn't holding anything. But she was scooping nothing into nothing.
Yeah.
And then she sees grandma and she's like,
like she gasps and makes it like a surprise face.
And then meanwhile, grandma's like, can you give me that chapstick?
You know, like I always catch myself. I try to like explain what you're doing.
Right.
Like for like a lot of the time, like our older podcasts, you'll be talking about something and you'll say, and they do this. Or, and they do that. Right. And then you're silent. And I'm hearing it back and I'm like, what the hell?
Well,
like, nobody knows what you're talking about.
For you guys listening at home, there's a video version of this podcast.
Yeah, you could see it.
Yeah, facebook.com/FallenHour. And on YouTube, you search at Fallen Hour and you guys will be able to find the podcast. And then you can see me and Marcus in the
so
flesh.
So if you want to see Cidel's gestures or his dumbass faces he makes when he tells a story.
We actually
watch the video.
We have a lot of visuals and stuff too.
Yeah, we do.
A lot of cool stuff. So
yeah,
you guys can check it out.
Yeah, we try to keep it interesting.
Keep it hip with the kids.
Yeah, but President William Howard Taft was the first person to report seeing Abigail Adams. And what he saw, he didn't see her carrying laundry. He saw her floating. Like her legs weren't moving and she was gliding across the room and it just right through the door.
Wow.
He's seen that a couple times.
I mean, just some of these accounts, it's like, why do you do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but when every time, like, you know, when I came across this story, the first thought that came to mind was, have you ever seen Death Becomes Her?
Yes. It's like one of my favorite movies.
When Bruce Willis goes down to the morgue to go get Meryl Streep out of the morgue, and those two nuns come down the hallway
crying. Oh, right. Yeah.
And they're crying, and he's standing in his hallway by himself, and it's like their legs aren't moving. They're just floating by him. Like when I saw that, like it was giving me the creeps, like, you know, thinking about that, like if I was down in an empty hallway and I see something like that. So like, I imagine that's what he saw. Like her just gliding across the room like that. Just creepy.
It's just disgusting.
Yeah, I know it is. It is like, ugh.
I mean, like I said before, if I know the mom listens to this podcast, she watches this, and I want dad to come on the podcast and tell his stories.
His stories are, wow, yeah.
And I mean, that one for our listeners, if he comes on, that has to be a Facebook watch or a YouTube.
Yeah, you have to like watch him tell the story. You can't just listen to him tell the story because there's a lot of visual elements to the way he tells stories.
Yeah, like he does the faces, he does the voices.
We're going to have to move these mics back because he gets loud and he gets into it. Like he really gets into storytelling. So when he's telling a story, if there's like 20 people in the room, they're all just sitting there watching.
Yeah. I've researched, like you were just talking about body language earlier. It's, especially if you're in a video and you're a video person doing a monologue, whether you're a news person, whatever, if you want people to be engaged, you got to move your body because people like cartoons. And when you do that, it's the same element of the mind. It's like watching a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's where you're like fixed on them.
Very animated. They keep moving and keep your attention.
Yeah.
Well, like we were even talking about that in the last podcast with Aaron, how because, you know, Native Americans around here, and I don't know if it's the same way in other places.
Like universal?
Yeah. If it's universal, but we talk with our hands a lot.
Right.
Like we do when we're telling a story. Our hands are moving all the time and we even like motion like certain ways.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking about a horse going up there, you're like moving your hand like a horse.
Like there's like gestures you do for like guns, and most people like do pointing like this.
Yeah, if they're talking about hunting, they're like looking down this.
Yeah. And they got to put their hand way up here.
Yeah, like it. And if you do, if my dad does come on this podcast, you're going to see a lot of that. So he has to. It'd be awesome. Anyway, our next one is Dolly Madison. Now, she's another first lady, and she wasn't seen until they tried to dig up her garden. She had a rose garden. She is the one that planted the rose garden
right
at the White House, where there's a lot of speeches and stuff done. You know, every time they do something outside, you, a lot of the time it's in the rose garden.
Yeah.
And one of the, another first lady, let me see who it was. It was Ellen Wilson. She wanted this garden dug up. She wanted to get rid of it. And the garden, the gardeners and the landscapers started reporting a woman basically stopping them from digging up this garden.
Wow.
And it wasn't till one of them finally recognized it was Dolly Madison. It was her ghost. And they started seeing her after that. So ever since that happened, they've seen her all the time. Like, you'd be looking out the window at nighttime and you'd see her in the rose garden or wow, wandering the halls. And they'd always smell the smell of roses when she was around.
Right.
So like every time, you know, even if you didn't, if they didn't see her, they'd start smelling roses.
Wow.
And they just assume it's Dolly Madison because, you know, usually the time she did manifest, they'd smell roses.
It's almost like she was there the whole time, but as soon as you try to dig up her garden, it's almost like a trigger object.
Yeah.
Or it just brings her out.
So she succeeded because they ended up leaving it alone.
Wow. Because of that.
Because of that.
So that's probably one of the most profound ghost experiences of the White House then, because it actually halted production.
Yep.
Interesting.
And a lot of these, you know, presidents, you know, their family, some of the presidents, some of the first wives, they'd add stuff to the place or they would rearrange things. And one of the presidents, actually, he's the reason why the whole second floor is bedrooms. He wanted places for his kids to play.
Wow.
Yeah. So he started making everything more family friendly. You know, like if they want to play in this room that was like an office, he made it, you know, child friendly.
I wonder if they'll allow that anymore. Like what? Where you can build in the place still. That's possible.
Yeah, they do.
Didn't Obama put in a basketball court?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, and another one, I can't remember who it was, put in a bowling alley.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I wonder if they'll allow like another wing to be put on if you wanted to.
And I think it was Jackie Kennedy. She was actually a really good interior decorator, and she is the reason why a lot of the White House looks how it does today. She put a lot of historical objects in there, artwork, all that kind of stuff. She is the one that put all that stuff in there. She decorated pretty much the whole thing.
Wow.
And later on, it was basically what's the word? Basically dubbed a historical place, like, you know, like for, you know, history and all that kind of
the
stuff.
The White House?
And, yeah. And basically is known as a museum now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's because of her pretty much, because of all the stuff she put in there.
There's a house for sale here, and it's dubbed, it has a plaque in there that it's a historical place.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a something-something house. I forgot his name.
Something-something.
Yeah, it's down there by the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can buy it. It's a freaking nice place inside.
That is pretty nice. Yeah. Yeah, I remember being there before.
It'd be kind of cool little place.
It is really, really. That one, I just have the name. Because there was like nothing, like, you know, like his story is so short. He was, it was a William Henry Harrison. He was the shortest lived person in office. He was only a president for 1 month.
Oh, God. I'd be so pissed off. Yeah.
In his speech, you know, after he won the election and all that, his speech, they basically think this is the reason why he died. He gave a long-winded speech, and it was like a horrible day. It was crappy out, crappy weather, and he ended up getting sick. Like, it's awful. Like, it's not funny, but it's just like, dude, really? He kind of did it to himself. Like, he was out there just rambling and rambling and rambling.
Wow.
And then he ended up getting sick and getting pneumonia and all of that. And he died in office and didn't accomplish anything. He didn't do anything.
Besides the speech.
That was
My gosh. I'd be so pissed off.
Yeah. So now they hear William Henry Harrison in the attic all the time.
Making suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah, they hear him in the attic all the time going through things and wrestling through stuff. And they didn't know who it was at first. And then finally somebody saw his apparition, and it was William Henry Harrison.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, I'd be so mad.
Be one pissed off ghost.
Yeah. Then I would haunt the place. That's like a reason to haunt the place.
Like, I'm never leaving now. Yeah. He now he's like one of the most known, ghosts to haunt the place.
Wow.
It's just crazy. Like, all these are like big name people,
right? Like,
that haunt this place. It isn't just like some ghost, some apparition, some guy you don't know. These are like big name people,
and that's where the ghosts, like, are.
Yeah,
in the White House.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy about this place. It's just like, you know, the kind of ghosts that are in this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Night at the Museum. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah.
You go to sleep and freaking, what's his name? Roosevelt comes out. Yeah. He's freaking on all words.
Yeah, and I remember Aaron kind of touched on this one. They report seeing a British soldier.
Oh, right.
At the White House holding a torch. And they think it's the same British soldier that torched the White House in the War of 1812.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was this, he was an American soldier then?
A British soldier?
Oh, British soldier that came to the White House. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's people like reporting seeing him outside with the torch. You know, like, keep seeing somebody wandering around with a torch. Or they even see him inside the White House. A British soldier walking the grounds and walking inside the White House. There was even an incident where this couple that was staying at the White House woke up to a British soldier standing next to their bed trying to light the bed on fire.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'd be something to wake up to. And, you know, they screamed, and then he slowly just faded away.
Could you imagine?
It wasn't real. It was a ghost.
Could you imagine, like,
waking up and turning over and somebody's going to light your bed on fire?
There's a soldier in full uniform with a torch just trying to burn your bed.
Like, when I go through these stories, or like when I come across these stories, I always try to put myself in that person's position and just visualize it. It's just crazy. Like, a lot of these, they're over the top.
Wow.
Like, they are like over the top stories.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just, oh, I heard a knock.
I mean,
oh, that cup moved.
And it's nothing that would, it's nothing like, the only way I can put it now is like a rite of passage, or, it's nothing like a tradition to do, like in the White House. Like, you got to go here and we have to see a ghost, or we have to come up with a ghost story.
Yeah.
It's like, it just happens there.
Yeah.
And there's these families are well established. They're leaders of the free world, and they have no...
And another thing that really made me want to do these is, you know, they talk about people who are credible, credible sources, credible people, credible stories. Mm-hmm. The people that work at the White House, they're all psych screened. They're drug tested. Just, they put them through the ringer to work in this place to make sure they're not nuts or crazy, because they're around, you know, all these...
important people.
Yeah, all these important people. People that basically run everything in the world.
Right.
All these foreign heads of, you know, and the presidents. They're around all these important people, so they have to make sure this guy is not crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, that's what's so interesting about this one, is they're all credible sources. And not only that, they're all very well educated, just like all these presidents. Most of these presidents are very well educated people.
Yeah.
And they have a lot to lose.
Right.
They have they're literally leading the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and representing the U.S. They have a lot to lose by coming out and saying, dude, I just saw Lincoln in the other room.
Yeah. And you sent me a letter this morning, and I think you should got a touch on this one.
Okay.
You were saying, too, because you sent it to me, and I honestly, mom was just texting me, And somehow that image you sent me popped up, and I was like, oh, and I clicked on it. And I was reading it, and Alicia was like, what is that? I was like, I don't know, my mom just sent it to me. And we're both sitting there like, trying to like read it.
And trying to figure out what it is.
We're like zooming in on it, and trying to like, like saying, White House, freaking similar crap like that. I saw the White House thing on there, she's reading it. And she's like jumping line after line trying to read this thing. And I'm like, sounds like a ghost story.
Yeah, I know. Like, it took me a minute to read it, too. I was going through word by word just trying to read this thing.
It's like hardcore cursive or freaking hardcore calligraphy. Yeah.
But what I sent you was a letter from Harry Truman to his wife.
Right.
Now, his wife didn't stay at the White House. His wife and his daughter Maggie, they wouldn't stay there because it was so creepy.
Like right off the bat?
Right off the bat. Like they tried to stay there and weird things would happen. So they were like, no, we're going home. You know, you could stay there.
Oh, wow.
And you'll run the U.S. and blah, blah, blah. But we're going to stay, you know, somewhere else. So they ended up staying at their house.
Wow.
You know, their home before they moved into the White House. So that's where they stayed. So that's why he wrote this letter. And what this letter, I'll get into that. All right. So, Harry Truman, there was a lot of things that went on while he was in office. You know, a lot of the staff, you know, the guards, people there were reporting a lot of crazy stuff.
Right.
Now, there was one night he woke up in the middle of the night to three knocks on his door.
Mock of a Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And like, yeah, that's funny. It's always three knocks.
Yeah.
It's like they're mocking the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know what that is, look it up. You want to tell them?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they usually come in three knocks to mock the Trinity. Anyway, he hears three knocks at his door, and he gets up, he walks over to his door, opens it, and there's nobody there. Now, he looks out into the hallway. There's nobody. He walks to his wife's bedroom that she used to stay in, and there was nobody in there. And so he goes into his daughter's bedroom, and there was nobody in there also. So he kind of wanders around for a bit on the second floor and then ends up just going back to his room, you know. And he lays down, and then he starts hearing footsteps wandering around in the hallway. And then he hears it again, three knocks. So he gets up, walks over, opens it. There's nobody.
He's the door?
Does the same thing, yeah, walks around. Checks all the rooms, and he just makes his way downstairs and talks to one of the security guards and asks him, you know, who the hell is wandering around up there. And this security guard tells him that there shouldn't be anybody on that floor at this time of night. So during a certain time of night, all the security guards, you know, are downstairs.
Right.
They, you know, man their posts and everything, and they just leave the second floor alone.
Mm.
While the president sleeps and stuff. So there was nobody up there during that time. And he ended up writing his wife a letter, which is the letter that I sent you. And it's basically him talking about how the White House is haunted.
Interesting.
And just like a small quote from his letter, he says, "The damn place is haunted, sure as shooting." Wow. And then he goes on to tell his wife that
sure is shooting.
You and Maggie better, you know, come back here before one of these ghosts carry me off, like sarcastically speaking, you know, just, but he writes her, you know, if you can look in the Truman presidential library, you can actually go in and find all these files and everything. You know, where everything's archived. Each president has their own presidential library.
Cool.
And these letters are archived in there. And there was even another letter he was talking about. He'd be sitting in his office and he'd hear footsteps walking in the hallways, walking into the room that he's in. And then he'd look around and he could see the drapes start moving and stuff.
Wow.
Like they're brushing against them. And he'd hear voices while he's trying to work. And he wrote her telling her that he could just imagine, you know, President Lincoln and Andrew Jackson bickering and arguing while they're walking around, you know, just like just the way he like kind of describes it. It's kind of weird just how open he was to talk about this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So that was the letter that I sent you.
Wow. You had a hard time reading that thing too.
Yeah, I did. I had to really like sit down and try to go word by word. Yeah, it was kind of ugly. But anyway, all right, that's enough for that. So now we'll get to the Lincolns.
Right.
Now the Lincolns, that was the one that I really wanted to get into because their stories are just crazy. They're insane.
They saw ghosts.
Yeah, they did. They saw things. They didn't only see ghosts.
Are you talking about the Lincoln ghosts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only the Lincoln ghosts, but what they did in the White House. Mm-hmm. Like all the things that they did while they were in the White House. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So they were kind of his wife, Mary Todd, she was really into, the whole, this was around like the whole spiritual era and all that. She was really into this thing. And she would hold seances in the White House.
I wonder which room.
Which I'm not sure which room. But she would do stuff like that in the White House. Now, Abraham Lincoln himself, he was kind of into that stuff too. Like, he actually attended these seances. But he was really into dreams and what they meant and all of that. He even had a premonition of his death.
Wow.
Like, he ended up, he said that he was in his room studying and he started hearing crying coming outside his door. He goes out of his door and he looks around and he couldn't see anybody, but he can still hear the crying. And he's walking around checking the rooms and nobody in there. And he makes his way down and he said the crying got louder. He couldn't see anybody, but it sounded like he was walking past people that were crying.
Oh, this was his premonition.
Yeah, this was his premonition. Now he makes his way to one of the rooms and there was a casket in the middle of the room. And there was dozens of people, in the room crying. And he made his way to one of the guards and asked him, who died in the White House? And the guard looks at him and says, the President of the United States. Whoa. And he sees this casket wrapped up in all these presidential things. And, and he woke up and he was kind of, creeped out by that, like I would be too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But but anyway, he was kind of pondering that whole thing, for about 2 weeks. And then one dinner party, he just came out and asked people, did you ever, dream your own death? Kept trying to bring it up, And he started telling them, what he saw. And he told his wife, a couple times of dreams he had. And one of them was about his son, and his kids did, pass away. One of them, Willie Lincoln, he was the first person to die in the White House.
Wow.
Yeah. And his wife, she was kind of, went into a really deep depression, grieving. And she stayed in her room for weeks. She stayed in her room for weeks and she ended up seeing his ghost when she was in there. Now that was, the story was that it was a really stormy night and she got really sick and she started showing symptoms of what he died from. He died from, was that like typhoid fever or what is that?
I have no idea.
You have no...
No.
Oh, man, I can't remember what it was. But he ended up dying from that.
He had a typhoon.
Yeah, he ended up dying from this fever, and she started showing symptoms of the same fever. So there was these nurses and stuff in her room, and she was crying and everything, and she felt like she couldn't breathe. And she looked in the corner of the room, and she saw a figure, a shadow figure, standing in the corner of that room. And she said it was really short. Now, she made her way to this figure and tried to touch it. And, when the lightning was kind of lighting up the room, she said she reached out to touch it and it disappeared. So it wasn't just a little shadow like from something. She actually watched this thing disappear.
Wow.
Now she goes and lays down and she falls asleep and she wakes up to Willie Lincoln standing at the foot of her bed, her kid. And she goes up to basically hug him. But she said when she's walking up to him, she notices that he doesn't look the same. It's like his eyes are really dark and like kind of red, and he was pale looking. Basically, he looked dead.
Right.
And then she goes up and puts her arms around him to hold him, and he puts his arms around her, and then he starts clawing at her.
Oh, scary.
He starts clawing her side, and then she goes to push him away, and he's like hanging on, trying to pull on her. And
wow.
She said that's when she realized this wasn't her kid. And she pushes him off, and he basically just fades away.
She wasn't making any efforts to try to get a hold of him, was she, before this?
Not till after this happened.
Oh, interesting.
Now she started holding seances in the White House, trying to contact her son.
Wow.
At first, she tried to go out into, you know, other places, you know, around town, to all these places that do hold seances, and she was trying to contact him that way. But all these people did was tell her about her husband, basically telling her about Abraham Lincoln's going to do this, Abraham Lincoln's going to do that.
Oh, you know, wow.
Like, all the great things he's going to do and accomplish.
If they're trying to warn him that he's going to die. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not here for my husband.
Yeah, they started telling her all these other things. And telling her about, you know, America and all of that. So she just says, you know, screw it. I'm going to do it myself. And she started holding these seances in the White House.
Wow.
Now, there was, you know, literally people gathered in there doing them with her. It wasn't just her by herself or President Lincoln. It was a bunch of people in a room doing these seances with her. Now, she would even try to help them out. You know, like if they want to try to contact somebody, she'd try to contact them, you know, with them. And that's when things started really happening in the White House.
Of course.
So a lot of people think maybe she opened up this doorway, because the reports before the Lincolns weren't as bad as they are now.
Right.
Like they weren't seeing just apparitions going through walls or yelling around in the other rooms or, you know, basically moving things around. They weren't seeing them to that degree. It was just maybe a voice here and there. But now that's just literally amplified.
Wow.
And they think it's because she maybe opened the door.
More.
Yeah. And this one's kind of crazy. So she was holding the seance, and this was reported by dozens of people. The piano in the room started levitating.
Oh my god.
Started coming off the ground in the room. And this was one of the ones that President Lincoln attended. He probably attended about 7 of them. And this piano starts levitating. And President Lincoln goes and tries to push this thing down. And they said that it starts, you know, going up a little further. And he's trying to push this piano down and he can't do it. So what he does is he hops on the damn thing and tries to weigh it down.
Oh my god!
And they said the piano started shaking violently. Like really started shaking violently, and they made him get off because they were afraid that he was going to get hurt.
Wow.
And then this piano just slams on the ground. And that's when these stories really started getting out of what they were doing in the White House, and it was being printed in the papers and stuff, saying this isn't like this isn't becoming of the First Lady or something like that. These are the people that represent the US and all that.
Right.
These are the people that are representing, you know, America. And they shouldn't be doing this stuff. And that's when she kind of started basically, oh, maybe I should stop, you know. But she ended up going out to other places again, trying to contact her son.
Wow. She never had any luck, though, right?
Well, there are people reporting seeing him in the White House. And then, then President Lincoln ended up dying, you know, getting assassinated. And now he is the most famous and most known ghost to be seen in the White House.
Wow. That's just a crazy story. I don't know if I'd try to hop on this thing.
Yeah, I know.
I'd probably try to record it.
Well, they didn't have anything to like record it with. I mean, they barely just started coming up with like, you know, cameras.
Right.
Actually taking pictures of things. But.
Call the newspaper man, see? Apparently he had a really high-pitched voice.
Who?
Lincoln.
Now that's just creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's like literally the most seen ghost in the White House. Queen Wilhelmina, is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Of the Netherlands?
Right.
She heard three knocks at her door when she was visiting the White House. And she said she walked up and she opened the door and Lincoln was standing in the doorway.
Oh my God.
Now, President Lincoln, he wasn't little. This guy was 6'5".
Oh my gosh. That's disgusting. I know what? No.
Yeah, I know.
I'm afraid of tall ghosts. That's disgusting.
He is huge. Like, okay, the first thought that came to mind is if you watch 13 Ghosts, right?
Yeah.
The ghost that creeped me out the most is that skinny, really tall guy that was just gray looking.
You know what? That freaked me out.
I think he was the one that actually folded Matthew Lillard.
You know what? There's a scene that I haven't talked about this ever, but there's a scene in the movie Quarantine.
Okay.
Where they're in the basement.
Yeah.
And there's this really tall dude. There's no reference to him after this. No reference to him before this.
But you just see him.
You see him in the basement. And he's tall. Was he naked?
I think he was.
Tall dude. Ungodly amounts of inches on him. And he's freaking like hunched over and they just need to see the back of him.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing like palish, bluish gray skin of just him like this and this flashlight on him.
Wow.
And they never see him again, I don't think. But that scene messed me up for a while because like I didn't want to go outside or go in the basement and just see like...
Seeing something really huge following you.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when I was thinking about that, I was like, man, he'd be one creepy ass ghost. You know, like just 6'5". Just the way he looks always kind of creeped me out. And
his elongated ears. Yeah.
But she did say
his Bill Nye features.
Yeah. But she did say he was wearing his top hat. Yeah, I mean, you asked, but yeah, she said he did. He was wearing his top hat. And she screamed and fainted.
I like that you put that in there because I asked about it earlier.
Yeah, she said he was wearing his top hat.
There was a time traveling theory.
Yeah.
About Bill Nye the Science Guy and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because isn't Bill Nye tall too?
I think he is. No, I don't think he is.
Anyways, it's either him or some historical figure, but they have some eerie similarities. Like,
yeah, I know.
Wearing bow ties. There was like one ear that's...
Well, they did say he shrunk a little bit before he died.
Oh, Lincoln.
Well, he was 6'4", but shrunk an inch.
Before he died.
Yeah.
Now he's here making science.
Yeah, I remember hearing that theory. I was like, that is stupid.
There's some strange things about it, though. Well, Bill Nye doesn't really have a high-pitched voice either. But then again, how do you know?
Bill Nye's the devil. I have my reasons for thinking that. I told you about that.
Don't tell me.
I don't want to get into that.
Okay, just tell me really quickly.
What, really quickly? Yeah. Why I think he's... Well, because he died. I remember him dying. I remember vividly him dying. And this was before freaking Facebook hoaxes and all that going on. Like, oh, this celebrity died and blah, blah, blah. And turns out they're alive. No, I remember him dying.
Well, this is like straight out of Matt Lauer's mouth.
I remember seeing it on the news. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, passed away. And I remember driving. We were on our way hunting the next morning and listening to the radio, me and my father-in-law, listening to the radio, them talking about Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Interesting.
Remembering Bill Nye.
Wow.
This whole thing. I was like, man, that's crazy. I was like, I used to watch this guy all the time, you know, growing up, and me and him were talking about it. And then 1 year later, he comes walking out. When me and Dolores, our sister, were watching The Soup.
Right.
And, you know, she likes watching that show, so I was like, all right, I'll watch it. And Joe McHale's talking, and then out of nowhere, Bill Nye's head peeks in off onto the camera, and then he comes out. And they're like, oh, you know, all clapping and everything and whatever. And he's like, you know, introducing him. And I remember Dolores looks at me because she remembered too. She looks at me and she said, didn't that guy die? And I said, yeah, she thought it was a rerun. So she gets the remote and looks at the info. And that was the episode that aired that day.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah. So that's
what is like, there. I mean, this is another.
I was listening to some other podcasts and people brought stuff up like this, like the one I was telling you about, the psychedelic podcast.
Right.
One of them had a story of Batista.
Oh, right.
Of him dying, and somebody else had another story. But it's like, you know, this kind of stuff happens all the time.
And that's what that was. We've researched the Mandela effect.
Yeah, which brings in the whole Mandela effect.
Right. And yeah. We've done full research. I mean, we've done full research on this subject. We just haven't done a podcast.
We just never
about
did a podcast. Yeah. Like, we were sitting there, like, bantering for, like, I don't know how long.
Yeah. And talking about science experiments, this kid finding things about this science experiment, and all this kind of stuff.
And we're getting really off track. So
I know.
Way off topic. All right. But anyway, back to. Oh, Mike, I thought somebody peeked out of that corner. It was your light. All right. Anyway, so my goodness, is that the time?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to be so tired. All right.
You stayed here until like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning before I went to work.
Yeah, I know.
I think you're fine.
A lot. So anyway, all right. Another person that saw President Lincoln is Grace Coolidge. And she saw him looking out of, what is it, the yellow Oval Office, looking out the window. And that is a place that they're always seeing him. You'd be outside and they see him looking out the window.
Wow,
and she
strange.
Was like one of the, yeah, she was one of the most famous people that saw him.
You have a picture that you showed me. Is that an authenticated picture?
That one, I've like did a lot of research into that. You know, I looked at this. I was like, man, this is a crazy picture. If this is real, good God, this is like the holy grail of, you know, ghosts.
Right.
In a photo. Now, the person that took that picture, he is a spirit photographer.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So he, I can't remember his name, but he actually accidentally took a picture at this one woman's, you know, photography studio. And he actually really liked this woman. So, like, you know, he was always going there and everything. And then he started working there. And he took this picture. And then he saw a woman standing behind him. And he showed her, you know, and she thought, well, maybe you captured a spirit, you know. And so that's when this whole thing came to be, you know, with his business. He started trying to take pictures of, you know, spirits and everything. He's saying that, you know, he knows how to do it and all that. But it's speculated that he would basically
fabricate it,
fabricate them.
This is a big thing.
But
back
they
then.
Never actually proved it, you know. And looking at them, I was like, yeah, no way. You know, no way this is real. Like, it's hanging up in a museum.
Right.
I think in Illinois. But the picture he's talking about is of Mary Todd after President Lincoln died.
Yeah.
And he's standing behind her with his hands on her shoulders.
Right.
Now, they're saying if this was a fabricated photo, it would have to have been a picture from a while back, you know. But it was a recent picture.
Wow.
Now, people were thinking that he learned how to do it, learned how to fabricate these, because people were going there to get pictures, you know, done, and there was always an apparition in these pictures.
Wow.
And the people of the town started thinking they're recognizing some of these people in the pictures of people walking around town. So they're like, okay, he's somehow fabricating these. So then they're like, we don't want anything to do with you. So then he moves to, I think he moved to New York, and he tried to, you know, redo his business there.
This was a big thing back then, people doing spirit photography.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with, what's that thing, like the
ectoplasm?
Ectoplasm coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like, have you seen the fake
ones? One of those. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. There's a lady, there's like people sitting there, and it's a freaking, like, what, cotton come out of
the
mouth?
Yeah, I saw those.
You can still tell it's a cotton ball.
But, like, you know, usually around that time, it was hard to take pictures of people, you know, the cameras, you know, they reacted so slow that you had to be able to sit really still for like a minute or so.
Right.
And not move to get a good picture. Otherwise, it'd come out horrible. You know, and they really started kind of working on cameras and all that during this time and trying to perfect them and, well, basically how they are today, you know. But, you know, during that time, they were really taking pictures of the dead.
Right.
Because they're the only people that don't move when you take their pictures. So that's when that whole thing started coming.
Oh, interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, they started doing that kind of photography, you know. That was kind of really big. And then, that's when all that kind of...
They would have parties with them, too.
Yeah.
And have them propped up inside the house in their coffins.
Strange. Yeah, God, I know. It is. It's gross. Thinking about that, I'm like, why would you do that?
Oh, it's so weird.
Taking a picture with somebody that's dead.
Right. I mean, you see it.
It's creepy.
You see it happening a lot, though. I mean, I've come across some people's profiles and they have pictures around the casket and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen those, too. Yeah. Anyway, let me see. Oh, yeah. The last reported sighting of Lincoln was from a guy named Tony Savoy. And that was in the 1980s. He was actually, I think it was his first day on duty. It was his first day there. And I think he went upstairs and he saw Lincoln sitting in the hallway with his hands crossed and his feet together. And he said that when he walked upstairs and saw Lincoln standing there, Lincoln just slowly turned his head and looked at him. And then he just faded away.
Whoa.
And now this guy ran downstairs and told his superior, I just saw Lincoln upstairs. And his superior just said, well, yeah, well, you're not the first.
Oh, my God.
Now get back to work. That was his response. So now that's what I'm getting to is where, geez, I just kind of went all Porky Pig there. Yeah, so like that's what I was getting at is this happens so often that all these people that work there, it's just normal to them.
Right.
And these jobs are literally kind of handed down. You know, there's people there that their dads worked there, their dad's dads worked there. You know, like down the line, it's just almost like a family business to a lot of these people.
It's kind of like a tradition.
In their family.
Right. I mean, that used to happen a lot back then as well.
Yeah. So that's kind of, but they still have to get, you know, psych screened and drug tests and all that to work there. But a lot of these people, they're there for generations.
Wow.
And they all, you know, like I listen to some stories from people that have been to the White House, that have worked at the White House, and they said that it's just normal to them. They'll just up and start telling a story, a ghost story, something they saw, and it's just normal.
Wow.
But they don't put that out there anymore. Not like they used to.
What year was that kid saw Lincoln for the last time?
1980. It was in the 1980s.
I wonder why that is. I mean, I wonder why it just stopped. There hasn't been any sightings since.
They're probably like, we probably shouldn't be talking about this stuff. You know, there's this, all the stuff I talked about is barely even scratching the surface.
Right.
Like if you really start digging.
Did you have more stories there?
There's a lot.
Do you still have more there or no?
There's a couple, yeah.
Do you want to go through them or do you want to just.
We could just probably end it like, there's the story of Mary Surratt.
You know, yes, told Mary Surratt.
When you went through that one. And, you know, the whole thing with her, you know, if you don't know who she is, Cidel talked about her on the last podcast, but she is always heard banging on the front door of the White House and crying. They see her sitting out there or they hear her crying or wandering the yard.
Right.
Yeah. So she's one ghost. And another one is, who else? Let me see. Man, now I'm drawing a blank. After you hit stop, like my mind just stopped. But
like that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all. And then the thing, you know, the whole.
Oh, the one that comes up and touches and grabs people. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the people that actually reported.
Which now I think it's that kid, Lincoln's.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying they think it's a teenager ghost.
Right.
They said the vibes they get off of it and everything. It's like a child. Now Willie Lincoln, he was 11 years old. When he died.
Right.
So it's possible, you know, it could be him. But one of the people that reported seeing this, and it's the only known written record of the thing, is from a Major Archibald.
Witwicky?
But. B-U-T-T. That's his last name. He's literally Major Butt. No, this is a real guy. I'm not joking. This is a real dude. He was an aide to two of the presidents.
Right.
I knew you were going to lose it over that. But he actually wrote in his memoirs about the thing. And the thing is a ghost that is always not seen but felt. Like they'd be in... you know, in an office or something, doing something, working, writing, and they'd feel somebody grab their shoulder and like kind of pull, like they're leaning over you, and they'd turn around and there is nobody there. And this happens all the time, I guess.
Wow.
And they named it the thing because they don't know if it's a child, if it's a man, if it's a woman, or if it's something else entirely, like some kind of demonic entity. So they just call it the thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they always feel it, and sometimes they'll hear it breathing.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's really gross. Now, this guy that wrote about it, this Major, I'm just going to say that, he is actually one of the people that died on the Titanic.
Wow.
Yeah.
It brings us full circle. I think that we got to end the season here now.
Our very first... the very first podcast that I was on was about the Titanic.
Right. Yeah. And I was yelling into the mic, and not only that.
Freaking. I know he's like way over the top, and I'm just sitting there like, yeah.
You're like,
yeah, that's crazy.
God, I watch our old episodes.
With one mic, and it's on your side of the table.
And I'm like yelling into the mic, and it just sounds overdone.
I know, overdone and dry. But yeah, like, this is just literally, we're barely even scratching the surface here.
Right.
Like, it's just insane. Like, if you dig into this, like, do it. Like, actually look into this stuff. It's crazy. There, even one of the rooms, I think it was the head butler's room of the White House, he has a picture in his office of a ghost.
Wow.
Captured in the White House.
Of recent times, or?
It was during the Truman era.
Okay, so he was a
I believe
butler.
It was the Truman era. It was whoever it was that was actually kind of renovating the whole building, kind of stripped it down, you know. And
is he a recent butler?
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Now, there is a picture of these people working, these construction workers, and then there's somebody standing there, and you can see through him.
Oh.
Now,
strange.
When they started analyzing this picture and looking at him, he almost looks like Lincoln.
Whoa.
Like, he looks like he has facial hair, and the way he stands and everything, he looks like Lincoln.
Wow.
So that's who they think this is.
So would that be like the first picture of Lincoln anyways? Apparition caught?
Yeah, I think it would be like the first apparition of Lincoln.
That ghost.
And this is a close-up picture of it.
Wow. Oh, I've seen this one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that one.
Now that's a close-up picture. Now if you actually see the picture, it's just... it is. It's kind of crazy.
Right. And so the one we were talking about earlier of the guy who does spirit photography, his image wasn't deauthenticated.
No. Yeah.
It's still authentic.
Yeah.
It's still possibly...
yeah, when he moved to... I want to say it's New York. If I'm wrong, you know, correct me. But he moved to New York and tried to open this business again with... the woman that he worked for. They ended up getting married. So he went to New York to try to continue doing this. And somebody came to his studio and basically ended up writing a letter saying this guy's, you know, fooling people. He's committing fraud and all that. And they wanted him shut down. Now, the thing is, they couldn't prove him wrong. Nobody actually proved him wrong. They had photographers come in and talk and everything during the trials, but none of them actually said that they saw him altering these pictures.
He was put on trial? Anything.
He was put on trial.
For what?
For basically fraud.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Strange.
So when he went to trial, they didn't actually say he was guilty. They said that nobody actually has proof that he's doing this. But they just have these pictures.
And nobody can still...
And nobody can prove them wrong.
There's no Photoshop back then.
No, there's no Photoshop, but they think there was ways that, like, oh, you can alter the chemicals and do this and do that and then make these apparitions. The very first one that he took, that was by accident, they said it kind of looks almost cartoonish because he said it almost shapes like an apparition, but he kind of drew on it to make it look like, you know, the features of it to basically draw out the person. And that was the very first one. So if you look at that picture, it looks fake. But when he really started getting into it, these pictures are like really, they look almost real. Like the one with Lincoln, you see all his features and everything. There's no way that's a drawing. You know? Right. He has to be like one badass artist to draw that. But, you know, they're saying that, you know, they can't prove this picture fake, but it's speculated that he faked all these pictures.
Wow. And that, I mean,
like, I mean, who knocks it out of the park every freaking time? You know what I mean?
I know.
How hard is it to, you know, take a picture of an apparition?
Right.
There's people out there that try to do it every day.
I mean, what if it's, I don't know. It's, I don't know. And I want to say it's possible. I'm not going to get into that crap. There was a way that she can transfer an image, though. They probably investigated that. It wasn't the oldest photograph ever taken. Anyways, there's a box there, man behind the camera.
Yeah.
Through sunlight or sun or something, the image of that person sitting there is imprinted
on it.
This film.
Yeah.
Somehow. Freaking weird way to take a photo. But he's got to sit there for like hours, though.
Yeah.
Strange. And by the way, I heard an ad. This J.P. Morgan, it's like a freaking insurance company or something. Every time I hear it, though, I just gotta reference it. I was like, wasn't he a fraud, though?
Yeah, he sunk the Titanic.
And I was like, give us your money. We'll insure you.
Like, we'll make you rich.
He's alive and well. He's, yeah. Is that all you got there for tonight's episode?
Oh, there's a lot more, but we just, yeah, better just wrap
so,
it up.
We promised new episodes all...
Oh, if you haven't heard the story of Winston Churchill, it is hilarious.
Oh, right.
Like, just knowing Winston Churchill, I'll just tell that story really quick. Oh. I think I told it on the last one. But Winston Churchill was staying at the White House, and he was taking a bath one night, and he gets out of the bathtub with his cigar in hand, and he walks into the room he's staying in, and he sees President Lincoln leaning on the fireplace.
Wow.
And here's Winston Churchill, butt-ass naked with a cigar in his hand. And he said President Lincoln turned and looked at him. And he said he was kind of smiling. And Winston Churchill says, "Good evening, Mr. President. I believe you have me at a disadvantage." And then he slowly faded away.
Wow.
But that was like one of the most famous stories. And if you know this guy's just...
he's a nut.
He's crazy. He's funny, man.
You can buy a piece of his glove, by the way. I mentioned that in the last podcast, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called Mini Museum, and it's like a tiny piece, but you can have a piece of his glove.
That story got me every time I came across it.
Because he had, I mentioned also, he had poor circulation in his hands.
Yeah.
So he was always wearing these beaver gloves.
Yeah. So, like, this is what I mean. There's people of high credibility that seen all these apparitions, not just, you know, president after president or first lady after first lady or their children or the people that work there, visitors, you know, like from all over the world seeing these apparitions in the White House.
Wow.
Just literally hundreds of accounts. It'll take forever to go through them all.
If there's plenty more, we'll jump into another podcast coming up. We have two.
Go, like, dive deep into these stories.
And some of the history behind these people. We've got two podcasts out now. We're hoping that this will be out December the 1st or so. This might
even stop saying dates. Just don't.
Well, we're trying to pack December.
Yeah.
Because we've totally dropped the ball in the past couple months.
Yeah, it was kind of rough going through that. But
yeah, So we'll get back to it. We're getting back on track. Patreon.com/Fallen Hour. You guys can find the video version of this podcast at Facebook.com/Fallen Hour, at YouTube at Fallen Hour. My name is Sid Alenik. This is Major Butt. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio. Major Butt.
And you'd lose it over
who
that.
Who's an Assman?
Oh, yeah, the other one with the Lake Bodum.
Yeah. Name, that guy. I thought I heard this name
Hans
before.
Hans Assman and Major Butt.